annals of history.
There has been some mighty trios. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and the Bee Gees.
Well, sure, there's only one of them now, but you get the drift.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these three men will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Please welcome Scotty, No I Don't Know Why I Got Fired Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve, Golden Tonsils Payos.
Yes, that is us, and we are back. Season 2, Episode 1 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards, and sitting next to me is the golden tonsils, Stevie P.
See, look, you've had one sentence, one sentence, and I have long, to bleep it already. one of the reasons, everyone's like, why has the podcast taken so long to come back? Well, there's two reasons for that. My wife just got over her anger of what Ben did to our house when he house sat over Christmas, you know, which was, it was great of you to look after the house, Benny, but when she
what
came
I do?
Home, well, it was about half a litre of dried piss on our toilet seat.
That was the dog's Ben.
No, there was dog shit on the rug.
That was,
you know,
me.
Steve, you know when you get that spray from the supermarket?
Glade. Right? I warned you about that.
I know you did. But you know that carpet spray that foams up white?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Ben had obviously fallen asleep in the house and Wocky, my little old Pomeranian, was locked in the house. So she crapped on the rug.
Yeah.
So Ben's picked up the crap, then just, I reckon, emptied half a can of that foam shit onto our rug and just left it there. We've walked
in. It had to sink in, man.
It looked like Mount Fujiyama.
Yeah. It had to sink in, man.
Sink in for, man, what, a week?
I don't know where that dog's been eating, man.
Well, you were feeding it. You were feeding it.
Steak and cheese.
But anyway, no. Well, that was one of the reasons. No, I'm only joking. She doesn't get angry at all. But, well, it's just,
there's been, say, Scott, your missus is good, mate.
Yeah, no, she doesn't get angry. But no, there's been a lot of life. I went on the honeymoon. Benny, you've been getting ready to step into the octagon. Stevie P's off
traveling the world, man.
Different fight night every other weekend with the Golden Tonsils. So,
that's right.
A lot of people are going to want to know how you're traveling, Benny, because you've got your big fight coming up. What is it? July 17?
15. I'm on. But how many jumpers have you got on, man?
Yeah, this is my fourth.
What's going on there?
Well, you go stand, jacket, go stand out in a paddock
of
soccer training,
literally,
mate.
Literally three jumpers and a jacket, man.
Well, and then you take this off, another layer underneath, T-shirt and singlet.
Too much arsenal.
There's about seven. What? Queanbeyan arsenal.
Steve is the reason there are sports clothing manufacturers. I mean, look at it.
I don't even have a shirt on under my jumper.
Yeah, but you've just come from training, Betty. So how's it all going for you, man?
Yeah, it's, I mean, awesome, mate.
You're about to get in the K. Everyone's wondering how the takedown defense and the grappling.
That's all I've been doing for 18 months, so. Yeah. I'll be well and truly ready for that. I've picked myself a hard fight, including this guy's amateur career. He's had 18 fights. So.
Yeah, but he's only just started training 5 weeks out, if you believe his Facebook post.
Yeah, well, but even though when he actually,
both of them in the Facebook stuff.
He actually postponed the fight and he was training the next day on Instagram. So I think he just wanted a bit more time to train. So
right.
I'm jumping in the deep end, yeah. But I ain't no bitch, man.
Yeah. Well, we'll obviously talk that up plenty more. Stevie, I know in coming weeks, Diamond Dave Tessaint, who it was announced this week, he's fighting on the Jeff Horn undercard against Shane Mosley Jr.
Which That's is, right.
What a fight for Diamond Dave.
Big Absolutely, game. Yeah. To be on a card like that is something that he deserves. I mean, he hasn't shirked away from any big opponents, especially in his last 3 to 4 fights.
Yep.
And to actually get the opportunity to fight on that stage is massive for him. Yep. And I think for him, one of the biggest components of this is the name recognition. As soon as, yep, you hear Shane Mosley, you know who that is. You know who Sugar Shane is.
Yep.
You know, Benny would know well and truly that he's a former, is it 6-time or 4-time world champion across multiple divisions, multiple, yep, sanctioning bodies. He's one of the greats of all time. So the fact that Dave is now going to be fighting on that card, it's official, a bit of back and forth, as Benny would know, when it comes to fight negotiations can take a while, but it's all sorted now and he's on the way. So it's great news.
Yeah, nice. So a few little changes this year to the podcast. We couldn't afford Larry the traffic guy this year, so he's grounded. You know, we've got one sponsor. The Butcher Shop stayed on with us. Langy and the boys had a few things they had to do this year, and Langy's doing the big Kent Quality Escapade and wanted to put his funds in.
Still a legend. He's still helping me out too. He's personally sponsoring me as well as Mr. Flat Top from the Butcher Shop as well. Both them are still looking after me.
Yeah,
so,
indeed. So the guys at the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, are official sponsors this year, which is fantastic. And if anyone listening owns a business and would like to get on board, give us a buzz. Contact us through Facebook, through through Twitter or through the email. Rates are very cheap compared to standard media around Canberra, and we'll look after
there
you.
There it is, the silky tones.
And we'll
get on board,
you.
People. Get on board now.
But we're still going to play some tunes. I thought I'd put together a top five today about everyone's favourite food, bacon, because let's be honest, there is nothing better.
Oh, I like it. I always like it. Pigs are pretty smart, and they know they're going to die. It makes it taste better, man. It does, man. It does, man.
Can't wait to hear why.
There we go. Look at that.
People only have a problem when you eat cute things. If pigs were cute, none of us would eat it, man.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, 100%.
Mate, I was.
What do you eat that's cute?
Nothing.
He's very... My name is... Yeah. I beat that out. My God. So look at that. We're straight into it. Episode one, and Edwards has just got the bleep button.
Don't worry,
I'll call
everyone as well. Tell them not to listen, Jesus.
Stevie's, as much as I didn't like the name Benny came up with last year.
It's a good name. You didn't have a suggestion, man.
It has stuck. The vast planet of athletic endeavours is Stevie's
It's
segment.
An homage to the wide world of sports. Correct. Man, but yeah. With no copyright infringements.
So we'll get that on.
The Vipo way.
We're going to get a listener question on as well, and we're going to play a couple of tunes, and we're going to kick off the podcast with the brand new one for the Foo Fighters. Their new single is called Run, and if this is anything to go by, the next album is going to be sensational. So let's get stuck into it. Season 2, Episode 1, the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop. Crank it up.
We'll be right back.
was the Foo Fighters with their new single Run. We are the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, me, I'm Ben, and Stevie P. Yeah. Is that all right?
That was good, mate.
Apparently brought to you by the Butcher Shop.
Indeed. If that was the worst back announce you do this year, you're on fire.
It'll be worse. That'll be worse, for sure.
And how nice is it? I know Stevie took off 5 jumpers when we started the podcast tonight, but sitting in this little office space, not sweating like pigs, because it's summer.
Yeah, the last few were terrible.
Ooh, I think what we'll do, I think the podcast is going to be a 6-month thing. It'll be like April till November, and then we go on holidays over the warmer months.
I nearly slid off my seat the last time. That was
madness. I know. Well, we had that repadded. Now, I don't know about you boys, because I know you've got places you go to look for your fight stuff, Benny and Steve. You'd be scouring, you know, the bloody internet, and you watch that much sport, it's not funny for your segment. But I look at some weird sites to try and find stuff to talk about on this podcast.
You look like one of those dudes, man.
I'm not talking that weird, but just...
with his new crew cut.
Here we go. We caught up for lunch 2 weeks ago, and everyone's like, well, what have you done? You cut your bloody hair again. Like, every time I get a haircut...
For you, that's like shaved, man.
But, mate, this will be back down to my shoulders in 3 weeks. Hurry up. It doesn't take long.
Man. Mate, that is longer than I've ever seen.
That's, shorter, you mean?
Sorry. Your hair at the moment is longer than I've ever had my hair in my life.
Yeah, me too. Right.
And it's the shortest you've ever had.
For sure. Mine's
we both saw him and went, what's going on here?
Who's this young rooster?
Yeah. Who's this bloke?
Whatever that chick we used to do the podcast with.
Oh, dear. Well, listen, one of my good friends bought me a bacon calendar last year for Christmas. So, you know, you turn it, and there's a different fact about bacon every day.
Wow.
Right? Oh, bacon.
Bacon.
Not baking.
Baking. Bacon. That wonderful meat that comes from... Because, as you said, Benny, the pig is truly a wonderful animal, isn't it?
Oh, they sure are.
You know, they know they're going to die. Yeah, it's just amazing.
Smart, tastes good.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Like a good hostage.
What?
No, that's why women... That's true.
How good is post training, Benny? You know, that brain is working.
No, you just know what came out then. That was the Lonely Bull. That was Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass cover in that one. I know we've got one copper crafty that listens to this every week. I don't want to knock on the door from the boys in blue next time we're talking.
Do you know anything about this? Right.
So anyway, bacon, it is the miracle meat. So it got me thinking of this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut. Top 5.
Yeah, it's the top 5 things that would be better if they were wrapped in bacon. All right, okay?
Do you get girls?
I've had to bleep it again. We didn't have a name at the top of the show. I've had to bleep it again. Deary me. Number 5, rates notices.
Oh, layers coming off.
Everything, man.
Rates notices.
Yeah. How good would they be if they were wrapped in bacon? Because they suck.
Yeah.
And on your theme before, number 4, Charlize Theron.
Yeah. You can wrap her in shit. I'm still going there, man.
Number 3.
Do you want me to?
He wants to.
I'm
doesn't
probably
he?
Just going to bleep
I'd
it.
I'd suck.
No, that was gone. It? No,
is that
no.
just going to be a big beep?
No, that's just going to be Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass again.
Is that music?
Yeah,
Five 5 minutes after we talk about cleaning this up.
You guys are talking about it.
Yeah.
I'll just sit
there. Yeah, throw us under that bus, mate. Me.
Number 3 in the top 5 things that would be better if they were wrapped in bacon. Bacon.
More bacon.
Yeah.
Oh, double it up.
Yeah, I can go
double
with that.
It up.
Yeah.
Number 2, Phil Gould, but only if his mouth was taped shut.
Phil Gould.
All right, where's my drum roll? There it is. Number 1 in the top 5 things that would be better if they were wrapped in bacon. Malcolm Turnbull. I thought that might help, but I was wrong. So this is a top 4 and one thing that not even bacon can save.
The podcast you are listening to is all true. Proving once again that the truth is not pretty. Just like its hosts. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
And now it's time to say thank you to our wonderful sponsor this year on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. And that is, of course, The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. I know, Benny, I keep seeing you posting on their Facebook
page. I'm there every
page,
week, man.
Getting your fight prep all ready to go.
I am. I'm baconed up. And... yeah, other meats. No, it's all about, I'm in there once a week. Seth always helps me out. Yep. I get my eggs there as well. They're real eggs.
How good are those
real eggs? They're different. Real eggs are like yellow.
Yeah, those grassy eggs.
The ones that you get from the cage orange things. Oh. It's a real bad orange.
And
they taste so different, man.
And it's the way those laying hens in cages.
Yeah, it's no horrible. Life, man. It's no life.
But yeah. Now they got the grassies, grass fed eggs at the butcher shop, and they are.
Every time I get
you're a big fan of sausages too, aren't you?
You shut your horn.
I can tell you for a
he loves a big spicy Spanish sausage, old Benny.
Well, they do a Spanish chorizo at the butcher shop, Steve.
That's why Benny's in there.
The Vegemite and cheese chipolatas.
I do love chorizo. I do love them.
Benny is more okay with the Vegemite and cheese chipolatas because it doesn't give him any issues when he looks at the size of those little fellas.
Issues. So,
and they're good.
Yeah.
Well, what issues, man? I'm very comfortable with my body, man. As long as you don't get me straight after training, after a coffee and dehydrated, in cold, I'm good.
I was in the pool. Yeah. The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. It is Canberra's best meat, hands down. Get in there. Kayleen's open 7 days a week. Butcher Shop at Dixon is open 6 days a week. Go in there. Tell them Benny sent you. And they'll just go, the eggs are over there. What Benny eats is there. Just buy it all.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Bifferama.
That's insane in the membrane.
All right, Benny, a lot of people have been waiting for your Bifferama segment, my friend. It's been 6 months, so let's get stuck in, shall we?
It has been, but I'm going to concentrate on current events as we have going on, and mostly an MMA theme. Today,
changed, man.
I have changed. I have changed, but I will be covering all bases in the 6 months, probably 6 months to come of recording because we don't record in summer.
Jeff Horn and Pacquiao.
Yeah,
up,
so I assume Payos are going to touch on that as well with his affiliation with Team Toussaint.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So tonight I'll start off with the UFC Fight Night 110 in Auckland on the weekend. Just gone.
112, wasn't it?
It's 110, man.
Was it?
No, it was UFC 212 was the main event one that was just recently
cool.
on.
My bad.
But yeah, idiot. Ashkan. Yep. Yes.
Must be the haircut.
So Ashkan Mokhtarian, the Iranian Aussie, made his UFC debut after 13 straight wins against UFC vet John Moraga. Now, I worked the night before. I missed the entire fight, but Payos didn't. What happened?
In the fight, in my humble opinion, Ashkan went in there really well prepared. So he'd prepared really well.
He is a really disciplined dude.
He is, absolutely.
One of my boxing trainers and jiu-jitsu coaches, Steve Rudick, goes to Sydney to train him.
Yeah.
And he's just a super disciplined dude. He eats 1,000 calories every day.
Yep.
Super disciplined.
The guy's got a really, really interesting story. He came from a rough upbringing, and they touched on it a lot during the coverage. So he came from, times of homelessness and drug addiction, alcohol abuse, all that sort of stuff. Took up the sport only about 7 years ago, Benny, and used it as a way to get back into discipline and really turn his life around. And he did that. And he went on a big streak, as you said, Benny, plenty of wins and a lot of KOs. And got
13
his opportunity.
Straight. Especially for a smaller man to get that.
That's right.
Finishes.
That's
awesome.
Right, because he was fighting. I think he was fighting at flyweight for
he's
fighting at bantamweight. Yeah, that's right. And then he's gone back to flyweight for his UFC debut. Moraga's a very experienced guy, excellent on the ground. Ash came out and looked to try and shoot a couple of times early in the fight, and Moraga was pretty good defensively against that. Got him in a guillotine a couple of times. It tied his arms out, Moraga, but you could tell it probably took a little bit out Ashkan as well.
Yeah. It really disrupts your breathing.
Exactly.
And even if you can breathe okay, it still cuts off one of the arteries to your head.
Yeah.
So you might come, even if you get out of it, you're still going to be a little bit dizzy.
That's it.
Because it's a blood choke as well as an oxygen.
That's
oxygen
it. And then Ash came out second and third rounds and did lay on some shots, actually hit him a few times, which was good. But I think the experience shone through as well. He's probably a little bit rattled by that first round of
UFC jitters, man. It's a real thing.
I was under the pump and he was so close to tapping out in that first round, but just showed that resolve and that hunger to keep going. So it was an eye-opener for him, I think, to fight on that stage. But
watch how he comes back.
He's been posting a lot on Facebook about how motivated he is to go back for his next
he'll
fight.
He'll come back with a
vengeance, man. Which is great. So, it was unfortunate. I was really cheering him and right behind him to hopefully win that because I work so closely with the gym, Australian top team up there. I do all of their shows in Sydney. Great promotion, UFN.
Yep.
So I really wanted him to win, but I don't think it's going to affect him long term. I think he'll get back on the bike.
You can see how by what he was posting. He's pumped.
He is. He's pumped to go again. And the best thing I saw was from his brother, Suman. It was a great comment. He said, the only thing that's bruised about my brother is his heart at the moment. He'll be back. So,
Nice.
That's awesome. So it was really good. I hope he turns it around, and I'm sure he will.
Yep.
And I'm sure another guy, a guy you know an awful lot about, because you broke the news on here that he was making, he got signed to the UFC, was the other Mako warrior, Alex Volkanovski, fighting a Japanese fighter, Masuto Hirota.
He did well, too.
I was still asleep for that one.
Still asleep, what happened?
I saw that one. It was a good fight.
Yeah,
good fight.
This fight was a really cracking fight, I thought, Scotty. It was a back and forth. Volkanovski dominated, in my opinion.
Yeah,
he was well on top of him. He landed a couple of big shots.
Yep.
And I think it was in the second, maybe late in the second, he had an opportunity to really attack and finish him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
But it was about 10 seconds left on the bell, I think, when he rocked him with that right hand. And
That's right.
He just ran out of time, and I think that was enough of a break for him to come back. And it was good. No one was surprised that he got the win.
That's right. He was really good, really solid. His defense was excellent. His takedown defense was great. And he's always been a pretty good wrestler.
He stuffed a few, didn't he?
Yeah, that's it. So he was great. So great performance from the Hulk.
Yep.
And he moves on now from here. Volkanovski is fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. The Aussies, there's plenty of Aussies.
He called out the bad guys at the end of the fight.
Did you see that? That was great.
Give me the bad guys. Just give me anyone.
Yeah.
So, but he's keen.
What's your thoughts on this, though, Betty? I thought he was a little bit brash, in my opinion, in some of his comments. Like when he says,
you've got to be cocky though, haven't
you? But when he said, give me the bad guys, I'm okay with that. I want the bad guys. The good guys don't give nothing. I'm going to go, Dana, give me that fight of the night bonus. You know, I want the 50 G's. It's like, oh, I don't know. I thought that was a little bit.
I don't know. It's sort of before Conor McGregor said it, and it was really funny. No one used to say it like that. And I think everyone sort of. I don't think he was trying to be cocky. I think he was just trying to be a little bit funny.
No, I don't think so either.
There,
but I think it's certainly something that comes with a certain type of
personality,
charisma, and personality you have. If you're a Conor McGregor,
Conor's funny.
Come on, Dana, give me the 50 G's, baby.
Yeah, it's funny.
It works, but
anything's funny that Irish people say. Except you're fired. Trust me.
Yeah.
That's not funny at all.
I don't think it was in keeping with his personality. So I sort of listened to it and thought, that's a bit weird. But anyway, great performance. 2-0 in the UFC now, and he marches on. So
how good's that? Well, for this one, I'm finally awake.
Yeah. And,
I finished at 4 a.m.
It's after midday, and Betty's up.
Crack of dawn, man. So Dan Hooker versus Ross Pearson. Dan Hooker's, he's been fighting in the UFC at 145 pounds at featherweight, and he made his lightweight debut for the UFC. He had fought at lightweight earlier in his career to success.
Yep.
And again, stopped cutting weight, went up a weight division against seasoned vet from The Ultimate Fighter 3, Ross Pearson, who came through with Michael Bisping. So he's been around since 2006.
And he's a hard bastard. Northern English.
Hard, solid, all around.
Yep.
Awesome back and forth fight with Hooker. Hooker's nose, he was leaking, man. World star. He leaking. Have you seen those videos, man?
No.
We need an African American person here.
You can
to talk,
get
you're with me,
for that.
Man.
Yeah.
But man, he toughed it out, man. Back and forth fight, and mate, he caught. Ross was doing a lot of head movement stuff, and as I always say, head movement for boxing is great, but for kickboxing MMA, it's not good because you're going to run into a knee or a kick or something, and that's exactly what happened. Hooker caught him straight on the chin, dropped him, and then finished him off. So there's actually a Canberra connection with Dan Hooker. He's married to the daughter of Andy Bunnell, who's one of the owners of Stockade Gym.
That's
one
right.
Of the places where I train at. So he's actually going to be in Canberra in a couple of weeks.
Nice.
So now that he's going to pull up hopefully all right from his fight, well, hopefully we'll be able to get some rounds in.
Yeah, I think Josh Tonner posted about that on the weekend on Facebook, said he was looking forward to catching up with some rounds.
I'd love to pick his brain about a few things and you know, get some, you know, bit of even
tips. Very good.
A few hints on tops. Some chops. And onto the semi-main event, Derek Brunson versus Dan Kelly. Now, Aussie legend, four-time Olympian. He's got half a knee. He's coming off a huge win against UFC legend Rashad Evans, who I actually trained with in Melbourne back in March, 3 months ago. Dan Kelly, what a legend. He's a fellow red wine
Dad's
connoisseur.
He's a legend.
He's one of the best athletes to come. He trains out of Resilience Gym. That's his gym, and that's just him to a T.
Yep.
Just mental strength, man. And a seriously top guy, mate. The general consensus was that this was a terrible matchup for him. He was fighting an awesome wrestler, Derek Brunson, left-handed, explosive.
Big and rangy.
Yeah, long. And he's coming off a loss to Anderson Silva, but everyone reckons, including me, that he should have won.
Yeah.
And, Dan bought the fight, as he always does, put the pressure on, but Derek just caught him.
Yeah, he did.
The double jab left hand. And Dan actually went to avoid the shot because he's not used to fighting lefties, especially ones that are super fast. zigged the wrong way when he should have zagged and got caught.
Yeah.
But still a legend. Takes more than that to kill Dad's arm. He'll be back for sure. It's only his second loss in 13 fights.
Maybe. Can I ask what the story with his knees, Benny? Is it just that he's got
something wrong with his meniscus or something?
Okay, so it's a cartilage.
It's not worth repair. I don't believe it's a
ligament.
Get on
the shark cartilage, Dan, if you're listening.
Yeah, how many? A kilo a day?
I'm wearing a moon boot at the moment because I've torn my Achilles and walked around on it for 2 months without knowing.
How good's he looking? And moon boot and a crew cut.
Yeah, I thought so.
You've changed, man.
Look at him.
They got me on 24,000 milligrams of shark cartilage a day.
It's like a whole fin.
He's knocking a bottle a day.
You're a great boy.
He just needs to get on that stuff. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
So on to the main event. So it's Hunt's first fight in his birth country in 16 years.
Yeah, how good.
Took on the surging... Oh, am I allowed to say this? The Black Beast.
Yeah, cool.
That's Derek his name, Lewis. Man. That's his name.
On a 6-fight win streak with 5 KOs. Very experienced and patient Mark kept the pressure on, landing some beautiful shots and leg kicks. Mm. Now, Derek said after the fight that he hurt his back, but I know what it's like getting kicked in the leg. I've lost a few fights to that.
Yeah.
Especially off Mark Hunt walks in the ring at about 128 kilos.
Yeah.
You get kicked on the spot in your leg or something like that.
He was hammering that, man, front, that would, front right
oh,
leg.
Man, your energy level was just go. And you're just in survival mode. And you could tell by Derek's body language. It was terrible.
He was stuffed.
Yeah, he was gone. He was just in survival
Hands
mode.
Hands on hips. Have you ever seen that?
It's very rare you see that.
Where? In the K1 in New Zealand, my first K1 fight against Sid Asiata. 2005, I'm there. We went to an extra round and I knocked him out with seconds left.
Yeah.
He's a top guy, a big Samoan dude.
Yeah.
And then after the fight, he goes, bro, I thought you were playing possum. I'm like, man, I was rooted. You could have knocked me out. He goes, I've never seen anyone do that. Man, I only took the fight on 3 weeks' notice, man. I was actually that stuffed.
Yeah,
you could have come and kicked me in the head. I would have been happy to have the early rest.
Yeah. It's on
his. Wow.
Yeah, but there was... Going back, like his body language, man, he was just shying away from the fight, hands on hips. But he was also ate like a plate of rice and ribs and chicken like an hour before the fight. There was a photo that came up on social media today.
Really?
So I don't know if that's exactly true, but he looked like, it looked pretty good.
He looked like he'd just eaten.
So he entered a retirement after the fight, which is quite weird. There's been a few guys retiring out of the blue, so it's good for me though. They're already struggling with heavyweight.
He did say at the end of the fight, he came out and he goes, "I'm not going to fight anymore." And then Brian Stan goes, "Sorry, what was that? You're not fighting, or you may not be fighting again." He goes, "I'm probably not fighting." And he goes, "So you're probably not fighting." It went for ages, and he's like, "I'm more than likely not fighting again. Yeah. I'm getting married next week." I was like, "Okay, you just said
you don't make long-term decisions on a short-term emotional reaction like that." It's obviously been playing on his mind, and you know, as Dana always says,
can we just get that what you just said? And next time you're about to pick up a chick, you need to replay that to yourself.
What, man?
You don't
make
long-term decisions.
Come on, man.
Short emotional.
What are you talking about, man? Chicks are different, man.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen you walk past the street, smell a girl, and want to marry her.
Yeah. I'm a lover, man. At least I'm not a man whore. I'm a lover. I fall in love, man.
Yeah. Oh, you fall, don't you?
What are you talking about, man? I've only blown the cobwebs out once this year.
Yeah. Come on, man. The dirty sewer pipes.
Oh, God.
Where do we go from here?
Well, Mark, after the fight, obviously.
Yeah, yes. Well, Mark, he said if it ended that night, he would have been happy with that. He had a good run, but he does have 3 fights as of now. He said he had 3 fights left before the fight, but he's got 3 fights left on his contract.
Yeah.
So even though he's suing the UFC and suing Dana White, he has every intention of finishing off his contract. And having made $110,000 for his victory on the weekend, I can certainly see why.
Yep.
He was obviously asked about how he's suing, you know, Dana, Brock Lesnar, everything like that, post-fight press conference. So here's the audio for that.
And after the last performance against Overeem, where people were sort of counting you out, as a fielder, you know, prove that you still got it?
Well, man, he's always going to be a cheating bum. That's what I thought. That's what he's always going to be to me, regardless whether he beat me. You know, I mean, he's always going to have that cloud over his head. All his achievements, you know, you don't know whether they're done by steroids or not. So, sorry, Alistair, you're a cheat. The bottom line, sir.
Yeah, so there's Hunto. He's still in the process of suing everyone.
You just know Dana was pissed that he won, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Before that, though, before the whole UFC 200 debacle where he fought a juiced up Brock Lesnar and now, you know, obviously it's all gone very legal. Mate, Dana said, man, as long as that guy wants to throw a punch, he's with me. I'll keep that guy forever. Even though he's got a 50-50 record, that dude comes to fight and he sells out stadiums.
That's so, it. People come to watch
And even Alistair Overeem was asked, because Mark was accused
skating about him as well.
Before he fought Overeem, in his last fight, he was accusing Overeem of being a cheater. He'll always be a cheater, this and that. And Overeem only had nice things to say.
That's right.
He goes, I love Mark. He's a great fighter.
Yeah,
I just want to stay positive.
Well, Overeem can't say anything else because he's been caught. He knows. 100%. Like you can't not say anything.
Just on that. Just on Mark Hunt. The biggest thing I wanted to ask is: do you think it's possible that Dana, at some point in the next three fights, almost as a swan song to someone who's been such a great warrior, gives him a title shot? I mean, he's still well in the top 10 and he's been firmly cemented in there for a while. Does he get that shot?
Nah. Well, Stipe's fighting Kane, isn't he? That's the next
one. Why? But why not?
Because the guys who are ranked above him are going to crack the shits, man.
Yeah, and he's suing the pants off them.
Okay, but who's
win.
Ranked above him? That's he's beaten most of the guys, from what I can tell, in the rankings anyway.
Oh, no, so, there's guys in front of him that...
Or I can give him a go. Like, why doesn't Dana
nice
give him one
see.
Swan song go?
It'd
give him
nice
that chance.
Yeah,
that one
but that would be a huge kerfuffle. I mean, you get number two complaining. You get number, just say number one's injured and number two gets a title shot. But number one would be like, if you just waited an extra month, I'd be good to fight it. It would be an absolute helter-skelter. Shemozzle.
It'd probably take a bit of the legal heat off
Shemozzle. And saying that, Mark, he's coming off before this was coming off, what, two losses as
well?
We
lost to Overeem, but I'm pretty sure he won
lost
before
Overeem,
that.
Lost Overeem, lost to Brock before that.
But he won one in between, didn't he? No,
that was it. He went straight from Brock to Reem. So he's not in line for a title shot. Mate, he's making money and he's still got it, man. So I don't think he's going to get a title shot, but he's going to make a lot of money and probably
good on him.
Hopefully,
deserves it too.
Give you out a few more concussions. Moving on to Bellator 180, the second biggest fight league, probably in America. There's a few in Europe that are getting pretty bloody big now, throwing some big money around. But there's rumors going around that the Bellator, with the Viacom money, are paying up to four times ex-UFC fighters, four times as much money as what the UFC is actually paying.
Yeah,
so there's been quite a few guys jump ship lately. So there's a main event coming up. It's a grudge match, 7 years in the making between Chael Sonnen and Wanderlei Silva. It all started back in 2010 when Chael was promoting his fight with Anderson Silva, and obviously he's had some derogatory things to say about Brazil and the legendary Nogueira brothers. Now, Wanderlei and Chael ended up in a car, and obviously Wanderlei's little film dude was there, and Wanderlei said, "Mate, turn the camera on. You're gonna have something to look at here." And this is what happened.
You say the fight, you make promotion, is good, but you need to be careful talking about some things like a Brazil. Now you're talking bad things about Brazil, you don't know Brazil.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And like you're talking about the Nogueira brothers. This guy is a history of this part. We need to respect this guy. The promotion is good, but you need to respect some things. No, this guy is respect the country, no? Don't do that, Mark. Because that's danger, no?
Sure.
No, Brazil, we have the things that you have respect, you feel you lost your teeth. No. In Brazil, we say that. Respect.
Thank you.
He reacted like a little kid.
So after being knocked out about a dozen times and English being his second language, he's not the easiest guy to understand. No. But essentially, he's just saying... the cliff note of the most important cliff note of what he said was, if we have a saying in Brazil, you show respect and you don't lose your teeth. So it was a direct threat. But Chael said after it that he couldn't understand what he was saying. He goes, all I was hearing was garble, garble, garble. So at the press conference they had for their upcoming fight, Chael was being his usual self, talking a lot, and had a pretty funny exchange with Wanderlei, who wasn't actually there. He was filming from Brazil. He wanted to stay in Brazil and keep training. So here's their little exchange they had.
Now that you see everyone's, opponent here and it's a press conference at MSG, is it a bit of a bummer not to be next to Wanderlei?
You and everybody else waited in the weather. You came to the press conference. Wanderlei, it looks like he found a bathroom as a backdrop in the men's shelter he's living at in Rio and got somebody to point a cell phone at his face. And I want to remind you, when you address me in public, you will do it proper. It's Mr. Sonnen. Try it one time.
Suck my balls.
How good is that?
You can understand that. All right.
You can understand that.
Yeah.
So, mate, start
we have a saying in Brazil. Suck my balls.
So stylistically, it's actually a really bad matchup for Vanderlei. And mate, honestly, because he's obviously a striker, and when they took the soccer kicks out for UFC rules, it really did affect him because that was a huge part of his game. But he's want to say he's struggled against wrestlers, but he has had, you know, Dan Henderson knocked him out.
Yeah,
you know, he's and mate, he looks like he's had that much brain trauma. And him coming from the shooter box gym in Brazil, those guys were notorious for just going hard, knocking out. Him and Shogun knocked each other out multiple times, man. Yeah. And there's a story of Shogun Rua had a little puppy, and they brought it to the gym to show everyone. And Vanderlei's like, "Oh man, I really like that dog. Let's have a spa, and whoever wins the spa gets to keep the dog."
Oh.
Vanderlei knocks Shogun out, and when Shogun woke up, Vanderlei's there holding the puppy, going, "Oh, thank you, thank you." True story. That's good. And they're like best mates. Like they were brothers in arms for a very long time.
Goodness,
there's also a semi-main event with the best heavyweight ever, Fedor Emelianenko, but I will talk more on that next week.
Okay.
And just quickly, were you going to touch on this Glory 42 Schmozzle in Paris?
I was going to, but let's do it now.
Well,
I wanted to raise it in the sense of my question was just going to be, have you ever seen anything like this, Benny? But go ahead for the listeners and explain the story.
Basically,
this is a beauty.
What happened? Yeah, we're at Glory 42, the biggest kickboxing promotion in the world in Paris. The co-main event was between a Dutchman, Myrtle Groenhart, and I assume Armenian by his name, Harut Grigorian.
Yeah, I think so.
Sounds Armenian. Yep. Anyway, so basically they had an exchange. Myrtle threw a jumping knee, which grazed Harut, and it cut him. And he actually, it was hard to see at first. It just looked like he turned around like it was the end of the round and was walking off. But what happened? He turned around. Myrtle threw a completely legal shot.
Yes.
Correct.
As you're supposed to protect yourself at all times. Wasn't in the best sportsmanship. And I don't know if I'd do it, but was legal. Protect yourself at all times. And Harut got dropped, but you can see on the ground that the knee that he got caught with just before it
opened cut right
him. And a lot of people don't respond well to cuts, and you don't know how you're going to respond to a cut. Some guys just love it and see red. I've been cut once. I thought, hell yeah, I'm going to have a cool scar. Held up awesome. You can't see shit. I was bummed.
Yeah.
But some guys, they just, oh no, I'm bleeding. I'm losing my energy.
So you think it was a panic thing from his?
Yeah. You can feel a cut straight away. It's a really weird thing. It's just like, I don't know, it's like you've been just whipped in a really small part of your face. It's just like a stinging. It's a weird thing. But you know you're being cut. And I just don't think he responded really well to it and didn't know how to react. He wasn't thinking straight and just turned around as a panic reaction.
But the fight was still on. The round was still going. There was no reason for him to just turn around like that.
Hell broke loose.
Then two of Harut's mates jumped in the ring and landed a really good shot while Myrtle was celebrating on the ropes. Because you wear big gloves, those little fists, they sneak through.
Yeah.
And but both trainers were pulling off Harut's friends. You can see Nicky Hammers, who's Ramon Dekker's son, who's the best Dutchman Muay Thai fighter ever. He's a living legend.
Yep.
So even in Thailand, he's held in such a high regard. He's known as the greatest Westerner ever. You know, and John Wayne Parr's only one notch below him in that level. But even Nicky was pulling off Harut's friends off Myrtle. So you can see, and Mike Pastanetti, who I've met several times, great bloke. He's Bada Hari's trainer as well as Myrtle. He was pulling everyone off as well. So it was just on for young and old.
It was ugly, a pull-off fest.
Ugly for the sports. A lot of pulling off.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, very, I don't know if it's good for the sport or bad.
How is that indifferent to Mayweather's shot when he knocked out?
It's not.
It's
the
legal. It's 3 years cut ago. From the same cloth, man. Yeah, Victor Ortiz. Yeah,
Victor Ortiz, yeah.
That was 2011.
Poor sportsmanship, but legal.
Yeah, that's it,
I wouldn't do it. I'll probably, who knows, man.
What do you do in that circumstance, Benny? The guy's turned his back.
You protect yourself at all times, man. Even if you're apologising, if you've done something wrong and you're apologising, you watch when I touch gloves at the start of a fight, my other hand's up and I ain't taking my eyes off you, man.
Yeah, that's
I don't
right.
trust you, man.
Well, no, you should, though. But in that circumstance as well, though, what are you going to do? Sneak around and sort of, hey, mate, are you all right type of thing? And he just goes bang.
Yeah.
And,
most people just like stop and, because I've had a guy turn his back on me before. But because he was hurt due to inside leg kicks, so he sort of just turned around out of pain. I'm like, I ran up to him, but I didn't do anything. And the ref jumped in and put a count on him. But I had every right to hit him as well, but I didn't because I didn't. I don't want to win to be soured by bad sportsmanship. So, so one more thing, and this is a very low note for all men in the world. Just listen. This is two Chinese fighters. Can't say their names. Don't want to. This is one of the most awful things I've ever heard. It's probably the worst groin shot I've ever heard. It's a lefty versus a righty. This guy goes to throw a leg kick. It's just shit on balls. Have a listen.
무장급 매치만큼 빠른 타이밍의 경기가 끝날 수도 있어요. 누구 책임 맞았어요? 너무 세게 맞았습니다.
아 지금 이거 큰일 났는데요.
병원에 가야 됩니다. 이거 너무 세게 맞았습니다.
아 이거 좀 큰일 났습니다. 예
소리가 예. 이 사고입니다. 너무 세게 맞았어요.
That was just a horrendous man. And the that was a horrendous dick shot,
mate. And the video is just shocking. You see this big tough Chinese dude. He's crying. He's yeah. crying in the middle of the ring. He pulled his groin guard off. They put a towel around him to have a look at yeah. the poor bastard, man.
Yeah.
That's shocking, man. No wonder I got hit in the nuts my very first kickboxing session. Yeah. Bought a stainless steel one the next day, and someone stole it when I was living in Queanbeyan.
I know this is all audio, but the best way to describe it, you know, when it's the middle of summer and you see a bluey that's had lost a fight with a Commodore on the road. That's what that would have looked like.
That's a bluey.
Blue tongue.
Oh. Yeah. Did I lose my Australia card for not knowing that?
Pretty much.
Australian.
Poor bastard.
And now, with the Macedonian love god, it's time for the Vast Planet
of Athletic Endeavour.
And you are record for Usain Bolt.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scoring brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one.
Tour. Take it away, Stevie.
Well, how good's that sound? Stevie Payos, take it away, my friend.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Benny, thank you very much for that fancy name, which I've forgotten already. The Vast,
Vast
Planet
of Athletic Endeavour.
Of Athletic Endeavour.
Don't say it like that, Scotty. It's a good name, man.
It's it's almost vape. It's close.
I love vape. Vape. Yeah. Pay- if it was me, yeah. vape pen, I'll be blazing.
Straight
good
up.
Good anti-inflammatories, man.
Oh, dear. Boys, first topic today, talk about Diamond Dave Toussaint. Oh. Fantastic story. This is the local yeah. boy who gave up his job as an electrician 18 months ago. And all of a sudden, from doing school assignments on Manny Pacquiao, the Pac-Man in high school, he's going to be fighting on the undercard of him versus Jeff Horn, the Battle of Brisbane, July 2. Fantastic achievement for such a young guy who's going down the path, in my opinion, of Danny Gill. He's going down the path of the real deal, someone who's just that nice guy.
Yep.
He doesn't want to trash talk Dave. He doesn't want to rubbish his opponents. And the worst thing that he'll say, for example, if you saw in the news last night when he spoke to Channel 9, the worst thing he'll say about someone is about Mosey, do you think you're going to beat him? And he goes, yeah, look, I think I'll have the skills in the ring and I'll come away with a victory. Like that's yeah. the worst he'll come out with. It's such a testament to his character. He's such a nice guy. And, you know, he's fighting a name which is going to do so much for his career. The fact that he's fighting the son of Sugar Shane Mosley, a guy who's got in the ring with almost everyone in those, you know, in the middleweight division, welterweight division, that sort of thing. It's just such a fantastic achievement for him. So I'm interested to see how he's going to go on the big stage more than anything. So, Benny, how do you reckon he'll you know, go from fighting in places like Sydney and obviously at the Hunter Club here mostly in his professional career to coming in front of 55,000, 60,000
yeah,
people?
Not a home crowd.
Not a home crowd. Yeah, you know what I mean?
He'll be fine, mate.
Screaming.
No worries at all.
He'll get the Aussie support because he's the Aussie against the Yank for a start.
Mate, Dave's travelled the world in his amateur career anyway, mate. Dave, mate, his work ethic's second to none. Even when he was a full-time Sparky, he'd still be getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning training before work.
Yeah.
And then training after work.
Yeah.
You know, mate, he's a for a young man, he's a seasoned vet. He's going to go an awful long way, mate. He's probably the best boxer I've ever sparred in terms of skill. And he's left-handed. And I think he's going to go, I like Danny Gill, but the facts are he didn't have a big punch and he quit while he was conscious twice on the big stage. That ain't going to happen with Dave. Dave does have a knockout shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a bloody lefty, bloody southpaw. They used to be illegal. I'm bringing back the ban. But he's a legend, mate, top bloke. Great work ethic.
Yeah.
He's going to do very, very well for himself.
He's also very technically gifted from what I can tell. I'm no boxing expert. You know, you'd know a lot more about that, obviously, from your martial arts background. But he seems to me to be very technically sound. His movement's good.
Oh,
His footwork's fantastic. Yeah. Like, he's very – his hand-eye coordination is
mate, if I try and box with him combo for combo, I'm just hitting air.
Yeah.
I couldn't hit shit, mate. The only time I ever had success was when I just used my 50-kilo weight advantage and just mauled him. If I actually tried
to,
if I try to box him, I'm hitting air. Yeah, I'm getting lit up, mate.
Well, I remember
so
you came here last year for one of the podcasts.
Yeah, my lip was hanging off.
You look like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I felt like it. Yeah.
Dave Toussaint.
Yeah. He's a gun, mate. He's awesome, mate. He deserves everything he gets, mate. Good. He's just a... He's a real, genuine, hard-working Aussie, mate.
Nice.
He's going to go an awful long way.
A big win here should see him propelled into that real global stardom, I think. I mean, you know, hopefully he'll be in a position where he can negotiate.
I'm glad he got this opponent because there was talk of another journeyman-type opponent.
Yeah.
But now, undefeated Shane Mosley Jr. I'm glad it's not just Shane Mosley's son. I'm glad he's got the same name.
Yeah.
Because that's going to really, as you said, mate, that's going to put him in the stratosphere, straight in the top.
That's it.
Well, where's he going to be? Where's he going to be ranked? Mate, if Oregon, if he knocks off Shane, he's going to pop up straight top 30, top 20 in the world straight away.
That's right, in the world. Yeah. I mean, he's already ranked, I think, two or three as a middleweight in Australia now. So you see what that does for him on the world stage. Michael Buffer announcing his name as well. So you can imagine the thrill that's going to be.
Oh, Buffer's doing it, is he?
Pretty sure Michael Buffer. Yeah, I mean, nice. That's what I've read on the internet, that Michael Buffer's going to be the man. But then again, the internet's brilliant for its rumours and its innuendo and crap like that. But let's hope. Yeah. I'd love to see that. I think Michael Buffer is, you know, one of the all-time greats, and there's no doubt about that in anyone's mind. Yeah. So good luck to Dave.
But if he pulls a vocal cord the day before,
Stevie,
you're getting the call up, man.
I'll fly myself up there and do it for nothing.
You'll be there in the crowd in your tuxedo just in case. I've got my own microphone.
Put on a bit of suit. That's it. I'm here just in case. Yeah. So good luck to Dave. I hope he does really well, and he's a fantastic guy. Keen to come in on the podcast next week.
Yeah,
so
cool. Awesome.
Look forward to having a great chat with him.
Nice.
Nicolas Cage, second topic, came up with a movie once called Gone in 60 Seconds.
Correct.
Second one is Gone in 80 Seconds. The Canberra Raiders is at the end of their season after their shocking throwaway loss in the last minutes
against
Penrith. That
was ordinary. Throwaway losses,
yeah, huh? Boys, it was a capitulation, really, coming out in the second half, 6-4 down, I believe they were at half time, but they came out in the second half, put a whole heap of points on, and just chucked it away in the last 80 seconds.
In the last 80. And I mean, I've seen it happen before. I saw South do it a couple of years ago. Yeah. I think it was against Balmain.
Do you remember that? Yeah. South did that off the kickoff the last one, and Greg Inglis ran the whole field, I think.
Newcastle did it against Melbourne back when Kurt Gidley was playing there, when Newcastle actually played
back
football.
Back when you blokes were good.
Same deal.
Well, he'd come up with it anyway. It's good.
We were down by 10 points with 2 minutes to go and won the game. So it does happen in rugby league, but it's not a good look for the losing team.
Manly did against Penrith. I remember I was there at Brookvale about 2.5 years ago. We come back in the last 2 minutes, two great tries. But it really showed a lack of heart for me from the Raiders because defensively they're reasonably strong.
Hang on, did you just admit to supporting Manly?
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
I've told you this a million times.
I don't remember that.
Yes, I'm a Manly fan.
Them's fighting words. I'm going to kick you
with
my moon
boots. We do have some robbery, my friend. Thanks for paying attention. You know how many people say that to me all the time? Oh, you're a Manly fan, eh? I go, mate, I've only brought it up with you about 15 times.
I don't remember you ever saying that.
Nah, big Manly fan. Big Manly fan, Scotty. Yeah.
What's haven't that's happened to the Raiders a couple of times in what are the last 8 matches or something? Haven't they been in?
Well, they've been dusted in Golden Point twice this year by Manly in Golden Point. They've been dusted twice. So a lot of close games and games going to the wire.
But just wrong way.
It's been one of those seasons where everything's been there, but they just haven't seemed to be able to put it together, and especially over a couple of weeks. So
it's a big shame because there's a lot of momentum coming off last year.
They were amazing.
So the question is, was it a false dawn at the end of last year? Was it a false dawn when everyone thought the Raiders preliminary final?
A false what?
A false dawn.
Oh.
I think obviously...
No, that's not a chick, mate.
That loss to Cronulla. In that first final last year.
Derailed them somewhat.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't think a few of the boys have got their head back in the game. And like when you see, obviously, Paul Vaughan, when we had him on the podcast last year, he was very tight-lipped, but you could kind of get the feeling by a few things Paul said that he was on out of favour with Ricky Stewart for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And he's gone to St George, and he's the best front rower in the comp.
Well, he's on the verge of Origin selection. If New South Wales didn't win so well in game
or had an injury, and this or had someone's injury. Injured.
Isn't this the first time they haven't changed their lineup?
Yeah, 28 games or something. Yeah, is that right, Scotty? Something like 28 games or something like that. Yeah.
So Queensland's made massive changes.
Oh, Thurston and Billy are back. So
Thurston's got a shoulder made out of glass at the moment.
And so is Billy.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a massive so what to me.
Yeah, the two of them get out very quickly.
Yeah.
Queensland, it's all over. Yeah.
I think it's done anyway. I mean, we'll just touch on the Origin quickly because by the time we get our podcast out next week, it'll be done and dusted. But I think New South Wales, it's theirs to throw away after that performance in game one. They should be all right at home. You'd expect in front of 90,000 to get the job done and win a series, second series in 12 years.
I was saying to a mate of mine tonight, they need to break Queensland's back this year. They need to win three, and they need to
win the two games up there. That's right.
And that way, Queensland are on the back foot, and you know you've got all these older guys that are going to get out of the game now, and we might see a period of Blues dominance. Well, and the game needs it. I saw that on
some footy show I was watching. They're talking about Queensland's already in a rebuilding phase where New South Wales was a couple of years ago. Now all those boys are going through. I think now Queensland's got to go through that themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. But gee, they get ridiculed though. They make 7 changes, and you know they've had a good. I don't mind the idea of the stick policy. You know, pick and stick. I don't mind that because you're trusting the guys that have done the job for you. But it's got to change at some point, doesn't it?
Nate Miles and Thaiday were passengers in game one.
Yeah, he had to go, and he plays for us at the moment. Anyway,
what about Mitchell Pearce?
He's gone. Didn't you see what happened today?
No, I didn't.
Manly released Nate Miles. He's playing for Melbourne this weekend. The Melbourne Storm have signed Nate Miles. He's
You're
gone.
You're joking. No. Where have I been? No, I didn't say that today
at all.
Yeah,
no, no. He's Fair gone. Yeah, mate, he's gone.
Okay,
yeah,
mate.
Some Manly fan you are, son.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. I'll take that. Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
True
there
story.
You go.
Yeah,
there Mitchell, go. Had Mitchell Pearce go in the first line. What are your thoughts?
Mate, I thought until he got knocked out cold.
He was awesome, wasn't he?
Finally,
60 minutes
finally
good.
Became the player that everyone's expected him to be. I still think when he first came in all those years ago, he was too young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He had club form and he got thrown under the Origin spotlight and didn't cope. And then obviously had a fair bit of growing up to do because I don't think he's as smart as his old man when it comes to that. But no, he played quite well. The whole New South Wales squad played well. There wasn't one person on
Is
there.
Is he in
this
next game
no.
if you got flatline KO?
Yeah, but he's had a couple of – it's 3 weeks between games.
He played yesterday though, didn't he? No, he was out again, was he?
No, they won
on Sunday.
No,
pretty
no,
sure
he played,
I guess everyone would be happy. It's like when Duke wins a fight. We hope he wins, but we hope he gets a black eye.
Yeah.
It's like Mitchell Pearce played well, but he got knocked out, so it's all good.
Yeah. We all won at the same time. So hopefully 2-0, and as you say, Scotty, 3-0 for New South Wales this year would be
good.
Great.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Today we saw the Golden State Warriors boys win the NBA championship 4-1. Absolutely smashed the Cavs over the length of the series, I think it's fair to say. Cleveland did win game 4 in Cleveland, but it took an absolutely record-breaking performance from all their big guys to win that game. And you have to give credit to LeBron James. He's carried them for so long this season, and he did it again in the playoffs. It took, multiple All-Stars and some of the best talent in the comp to actually get over the Cavs.
Yep.
But they equaled the San Antonio Spurs with their fifth championship and the fourth Correct. Most successful team. So congratulations to the Warriors. One of the biggest talking points and something that's bothered me a lot is the whole move of Kevin Durant, the fact that he left Oklahoma City to go to the Warriors. So the story behind this is that they've already got a star-studded side and he basically left Oklahoma City. He left Russell Westbrook, who had one of the most unbelievable seasons ever in the history of basketball this year. He left them to go and chase a ring to somewhere where he knew he could chase it.
Yep.
And effectively, the way that Golden State Warriors have their contract situation set up is that Steph Curry, because of his knee problems years ago, has only been on a paltry $11 million for the last few years.
Bastard.
Poor bugger. struggling in life. And he's in line now to get what's called an inverted commas max contract, which is based on the status of your club, how long you've been there. You can get a max contract, which is around $33 million a year. So KD went there on the knowledge that, well, you know what? This year I can squeeze in under the cap because he's already on a max contract.
Yep.
Went there, won himself a championship. There, he's the best player in the NBA not to win a championship. Former MVP, lost once before, 2012 in the NBA Finals when he got dusted by LeBron at the Miami Heat. So he got a lot of unfair criticism, in my opinion, because he's gone there to chase a ring. He's won the ring, and everyone's saying, oh, well, this is crap. All this is doing is feeding this notion of everybody going to the one club and winning and chasing the dream. But why shouldn't he, I reckon?
Yeah,
he had the ability to do it.
As a professional sportsman, you want to go where you're going to win
Correct.
And where you get the best deal for your career.
Correct. And what this means now is that next year you're going to have Curry gets offered the max contract, and why wouldn't they want to keep him? You're going to have Draymond's going to be looking for a big contract as well. Draymond Green, Thompson as well, the Smash Brothers, with him and Curry. So they're not going to be able to keep their whole roster. So
no,
they're going to get hurt in the long run anyway. Yeah. But he's gone there, won his title. He may not win again, but I see nothing wrong with it. I just think
the
fact that he's gone there to win it, he's received such a big criticism for it. And I'm like, mate, leave him
alone. Not at all, man. Especially as a sportsman, you only get X amount of time to maximize your income. You can't be an athlete your whole life.
That's right.
People
don't understand that, man.
If you're still fighting when you're 45, I'll be cheering you. But fair enough.
If I'm still fighting and talking coherently at 45, I'll be pretty bloody proud of myself.
You can talk coherently now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I've got nothing to lose.
Post training, Betty. That's the first 10 minutes of the podcast every week.
It's like Brad Pitt from Snatch was here.
He's
a winner, man.
Yeah. So, anyway, my opinion, congratulations, KD. Finals MVP, 30 plus in every single game, couple triple doubles. He was fantastic, and well done to the Warriors. They were the deserved best team in the comp this year. Two championships in the last 3 years. Steve Kerr, the first coach, I think, to win. Oh, no. It wasn't the first coach. He tied a couple of other blokes who were coaches to win in their first year and then ahead and win again in their third year. So congratulations to the Warriors. Socceroos last week in their bid to qualify for Russia had a good
victory
over Saudi Arabia, and we have our uppercut coming later on, which we can which we can comfortably fill with that one if we want to.
Yeah.
So are we doing it? Sorry to hijack. an uppercut and a high five this week?
I reckon we've got one of each this week kick off season two of the podcast.
That's it. Couple of beauties. So great performance from Australia to win 3-2. Seesawing game, and a special mention, Canberra's Tommy Rogic. Fantastic performance. Fantastic.
Plays for
the boys.
Who I was talking about before, who was discovered by Andy Bunnell.
Andy Bunnell, that's correct. Yep,
Dan Hooker's father-in-law.
That's right. Yep. Andy Bunnell, indeed. So, he's still looking after him as well in some capacity as well. Yep. And, I mean, I really hope that Rogic looks to get a big move soon. I mean, he's in a position where he can fill a void of a big club if their playmaker goes. He's a young guy, very talented, albeit Celtic did just win the treble undefeated.
That's
the Scottish treble, that is. 38 games, 34 wins, I think, in the league, 4 draws, 106 points or something crazy like that. Yeah. He had a great season, but I think it's time for him to look at moving on in the next few years. So Australia's ending to the qualification campaign is away to Japan and then home to Thailand. Problem with that is they're ahead of Saudi Arabia at the moment based on the for and against record, so a draw away and a win at home. But the problem is that Japan will be hard to beat for us away from home, and Saudi Arabia's game, I think, is against Iraq in Iran or something like that. So more of a chance that they'll win it, and then we might finish third, which puts us down a bit of a snakes and ladders path through to qualifying through Asia and then through North America as
well. Have faith, mate.
I absolutely have faith. I just hope we can get the job done. A few results go our way, so great performance. On Sunday night, we saw history made once again in the tennis. Rafael Nadal winning his 10th French Open title, the only man ever to win double-digit titles at a single Grand Slam. The next best, I think, is Federer with Wimbledon. He's won 5 or 6. Seven Wimbledons, and you got Bjorn Borg won a lot as well there. Yeah. So a fantastic achievement, but I don't like the fact that Nadal is continuously called the best player ever. This is something that's a gripe with me. I'd like to know what you boys think about this. 10 Grand Slams on one surface, only 15 in total. He's only won 5 on the other 3 surfaces and has struggled over the years with a lot of
surfaces? Clay, grass?
Synthetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, ace rebound or
rebound synthetic. And then it's hard court as well that they play on. So they play indoors as well for a few Masters tournaments and stuff like that. He's won a lot of Masters events, but he's been so dominant. The King of Clay, undisputed number one,
no doubt.
On the clay. And by that, not just in France. I'm talking Monte Carlo Masters, Barcelona, Madrid, anywhere there's clay, Forest in
my
Canberra.
Backyard.
Your backyard. Yes. Anywhere there is. But I just don't see how you can call him the best player ever. He still doesn't have the most Grand Slams next to Federer. And he's just that little bit deficient on those other services.
He is,
anyone, there's always an argument for anyone pretty much when you call
that's
him.
That's correct.
There's different eras. Yeah. And you said everyone's got their own little specialty. So you can't compare people from different eras as well. So.
Well, I guess my opinion is that he's not the GOAT, Benny. That's what I'm trying to say. He's not the GOAT. I think if he gets to Federer's mark or equals Federer, there's definitely an argument to say he is the best, but you can only beat who's ahead of you as well. And especially his last sort of 4 or 5 French Opens haven't exactly been against brilliant opposition. So Stan Wawrinka is a great player, don't get me wrong, but he really schooled him and completely dominated. Congratulations to him, fantastic performance. And that's it, boys. That covers the sporting wrap for this week. I was going to mention Glory 42, Benny, and you went over it before. I thought that was magnificent to see these blokes jump in the ring and punch on like that. I thought
that was crazy. Yeah. I don't know if it's good for the sport or bad for the sport.
Well, I wasn't sure what to think. I'm like, because the guy that got on the rope and nailed him, he dropped him good.
Myrtle reckoned, he goes, my jaw is pretty jacked up from that.
Not sure if Brendan Sassoli does something stupid at your fight, my entire corporate table will be in there, mate.
There'll be about 900 people jumping at me. And I'm not going to need it.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Need advice? You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
Yep, this segment has made it back. Listener question time. We're not trusting the listeners with song requests this year because, let's be honest, a lot of them last year were absolutely shithouse.
Mud.
So I'll be choosing the music this year. And if you don't like it, Canberra, get your own podcast and have listener requests. Benny, this one more for you, I would say. Stevie, you weigh on this one too. We kind of touched on it in Bifurama, but Josh Watson on Facebook has said, thoughts on Derek the Beast Lewis retiring after his loss to Mark Hunt?
Well, fighting's one of those things. If you're thinking about retiring, you should retire.
Yep.
You can't go into it half-assed. You're going to get hurt. There's life-changing consequences for a bad loss.
Yep.
If you're thinking about it, see you later.
Okay. Sure. You think it's a good move?
100%. Yeah, it's even in your head.
When your hands are on your hips in the ring, unless you're a young bloke at K1.
Playing possum, quote-unquote.
on that Brunson issue, one thing I did want to... mention was it seemed to me that Mark Hunt has the ability in his mind to know that a lot of those fights are going to end quickly,
yeah.
but he's mentally strong enough to go the distance and put in the work as required.
Those five rounders he had with Bigfoot and that yeah. one in Brisbane, that was just
that was brutal. Wasn't
that's
it?
Experience.
And yeah. he got through it and he knew he was gassing a lot of people on social media. Oh, that was a terrible fight. It wasn't a terrible fight. It was a smart fight
that's
from Hunt.
Correct. Brilliant.
He knew his game plan was to chop him down at the legs, take it out of him, and then just wait for the opportunity.
And based on that, though, it seemed to me that once it got into the midway part of the second round, Brunson was just like, oh, God, I can't do this. It really felt like that. He goes, yeah. I thought
should
I was
going to knock
him
ribs.
Out. Yeah. yeah. That coleslaw was going
down.
Man,
I'll tell you what. I eat like 3 hours before a training session. I have a meal, 3 hours done, I'm done digesting. They reckon it's good to be a little bit hungry when you're training because your body's not wasting no energy digesting food.
Yeah.
But, man. If you're eating
an hour before a fight,
especially on fight day, when you're already nervous.
The only time you eat before a fight is at Pasha's Kebabs at 2 a.m.
and you're
Saturday.
About to fight while you're eating it. But maybe,
what a shame they don't open at 2 a.m. anymore. Yeah.
Especially on fight day, though. Like, you're already nervous. You don't have a lot of blood in your stomach. Your blood's all in your muscles. The fight or flight response is there when you wake up.
Yep.
There's not things take a long time to digest on fight day. Frank Mir doesn't even eat on fight day. He goes, I've given up trying. I'm too nervous. I can't
get anything. He doesn't eat all day.
No. He goes, I'm too nervous. I can't stomach it. I got to try and throw up. Yep. So he just eats the night before after the weigh-in. And I've done that once before for my first world title when it was the tribute night for Johnny Varon, who passed. Well, I was so nervous. I couldn't even do my teeth. I gagged as soon as I put the toothbrush in my mouth.
Yep.
So, man, that's just unprofessional. Yeah. You shouldn't even be eating at the venue, really. So maybe nibbling on some nuts or some fruit or something that's easy to digest.
Can you imagine going at the back and seeing him holding to a ribs?
I've only seen that once before with Bob Sapp. It was when he was just, he lost like 10 in a row. He didn't give a shit. He was just showing up for the money. He fought Soa Palela here in Canberra, a big Tongan who I'm friends with. Yeah. He was just smashing a Big Mac meal or something at the venue, just chilling out. Went out, got smashed in 10 seconds, pretty much took a dive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And now he's just showing up for the money. So maybe Derek was like, hey, screw it. He made over 100 grand.
Mm.
About to get married. Not a bad wedding present.
Yeah, that's
nice,
it. Yeah.
Nice. So there you go, Josh. That is the thoughts on it. And let's get stuck into the second song for the podcast this week. And the last song for the podcast, I don't know if you guys have heard, the last couple of Nickelback albums have been shithouse. Absolutely terrible. I'm not going to lie to you. But they've got a new album coming out shortly. And the first single that they released, they put a lyric video up on YouTube. This song kicks ass. It's called Feed the Machine. You get the feeling it was kind of written around the US political cycle, this one.
Is the Chad great again?
The Chad's pretty angry.
Did
so
Nickelback make Chad great again?
I think they made
it. See what I did there?
Maybe Donald did. You never know. Let's have a little listen to it.
That was Feed the Machine by Nickelback. We are the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Steve, and me, Benny E.
Very nice.
Is that it?
That was good.
All proudly right. brought to you by
The Butcher Shop.
There you go, Dixon and Kayleen.
Flat top
Ian. That's what it's all about. Yeah.
And Sess.
Who doesn't have a flat top?
No.
No.
He's got no top.
He's got flat top and no top. I like that. Now, boys, we thought we'd do episode one of season two and have an uppercut and a high five this week. So let's start with our high five on the count of three, boys. High five. One, two, three. There we go. All right, Benny, you said this one, and I completely agree with you.
Yeah, Andrew Bolt. He was, oh man, we've probably all seen the video, but he got glitter bombed by some stinking lefties. And man, he was throwing down, man. It was awesome.
And
man,
I love the fact that the lefty alliance that went after him tried to turn it into he attacked them they only put
they
up
like offended.
5 seconds of the video, and then it came out they got the rest of the video, and we all saw happened.
Offended by everything.
Oh, yeah.
Good on him, and for him to react like that. I mean, the guy's a journalist. He's not a fighter. He's a big dude, apparently. He's about 6'6", so he's got some height about him, but he reacted really. His fight or flight was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, he wasn't running nowhere, man.
Yeah.
Glitter bomb this.
How good is his suit buttoned up, too, throwing punches?
It wasn't just one get away from me. No. He was going for the kill, man. It was awesome. I just watched the video before I came in here.
I don't agree with everything Andrew Bolt always says, but it was fantastic to see him. Yeah. Punch on.
I just love seeing lefties upset.
When he got attacked by dickheads. Yeah. About that. Yeah.
How good's that?
Yeah, it was nice. Really good. It was good
the
to whole, see.
What is it? The anti-fash movement or whatever they call them?
Feminazis, man.
Is that what it is? All right, now our uppercut of the week. Stevie, you kind of touched on it before, and it was a week ago, but we're only getting into it this year.
Mm.
So the Saudi Arabian soccer team, probably not the team, probably the management who turned to Federation of Soccer in Australia and said, no, we're not participating in a minute's silence, and it really upset a lot of people.
Yeah, it was a really hypocritical action.
Okay, so Australia played Saudi Arabia last week, and because two Australian girls, including one South Australian girl who passed away in the London terror attacks, they wanted to do a minute's silence before the soccer match. Saudi Arabian people said, no, ain't going to happen. We're not doing it. And they were warming up during a minute's silence while they were, you know.
That's
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Exactly.
Ben. It was ordinary.
The worst part about it from them was the look that came out afterwards when somebody tweeted a picture of a game between Barcelona and Al Ahly in the Club World Cup a couple of years ago, where the Al Ahly team, the Saudi team, were standing there hand in hand observing the minute silence, and for the Saudi Football Federation to come out and say it's not in our culture to observe these things when here's evidence of you doing the exact same thing two and a half, three years ago. Yeah. The hypocrisy is what stands out as the most, as the biggest lunacy of it all.
Well, let's be honest. No matter where you stand on the political scale of right or left, it's common knowledge that Saudi Arabia funds a hell of a lot of terrorism activities, and that upset a lot of people. So you can understand, and I certainly think, Benny, you need to wind up here, son.
I'm wound up, man.
All right, away you go. All 11 at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of, I don't get that, man.
It was just that's what I'm saying. The hypocrisy of it all was just so strange. And then there was all sorts
of that game.
Of,
where was the game?
It was in South Adelaide. Australia. It was in Adelaide. Yeah. And there was all sorts of mixed reports about the players actually said, no, we're happy to do it. Let's just get on with
it. But it was
get
the management.
But the management said no. Yeah. Then they came out and issued apology afterwards.
Yeah, which, an unreserved apology.
Which is it? Which is as if to say. There's almost an element of, oh, we had this planned. Yeah, I don't know. That's politics for you, though. Yeah. You just don't know what the backstory
was.
Did you
see some of the photos of that? The actual concert? That was...
This was about London. This was about Manchester. Oh, this is the one where the guys were in the car, drove into people on the bridge, and then went after people with
Do you want to hear a spooky story?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly 1 week to the minute of when that terrorist attack happened in London, like going back a week, because remember, I was at the FA Cup final. We were in that exact same area, having a beer after we won the final.
Yeah.
And like talking to people like my mother, for example, she's like, oh, that's the sort of stuff that creeps them out the most. Yeah. For me, I'm just like, well, I kind of feel like it's a bit into one to be in the right, that sort of place at the wrong time. But you can imagine for them, my poor mother is just like, Oh, geez, like, you know, and it was. It was exactly, it was about, it was 10 o'clock on Saturday night. We were down Waterloo, which is just around the corner from there, having a beer after we won the game. You can imagine if something like that happened around near where we were.
And it's, and it's more to come.
It's only going to be a matter of time before it happens here in Australia. I mean, the amount of sport we have in this country, it's a magnet. It's going to happen. It'll happen at some point.
It's going to do, the way I feel about it is, it's going to affect someone we know or yourself quite close to home.
It's only a matter of time.
And then it's going to be very, then it'll hit home big time for a lot of people. Like, wow, that actually hurt me personally. So, you know, it's a sad thing. And anyway, you don't really want politics involved in this stuff, but that's pretty ordinary what happened last week.
But if you can't integrate... You know, if you're leaving your country, man.
I remember the Wanderers went over there for an Asian Champions League game, and there was talk about how all the females that went with the crew, you know, put on the hijabs, put on the burqas to make sure that they were being culturally sensitive over there.
They don't have to do it,
and it's like, you know, why don't you be reciprocal? You know what I mean? We're not asking for much.
Yeah,
so.
Sherry and I, we had our honeymoon in Fiji in April, and part of it was a trip to a village where the people on the island we went to where they all came from.
Mm-hmm.
And before you head over, they go, listen, all the women have to cover, like, not completely cover up, but like a t-shirt and shorts. You can't walk over in a bikini.
Yeah.
And everyone needs to remove their hats when you go inside the big hall to have the
carpet ceremony. And no one would have said boo.
No one, because do you know what? That's their tradition, exactly. And I'm in their country.
Exactly.
Yep. That's what you do. And if you're not prepared to do it, then you don't get to enjoy that stuff. But I think that's an argument for, or a conversation for another day.
We've got
to
bring Costa in, man.
Mate,
get the beep button ready.
If we bring in your mate Costa, this
the
podcast,
solid majority is going to download all our. We're going to shoot straight to the top, man.
This podcast will just be 90 minutes of bleeping.
Costa knows best, man. There's the new segment.
Yeah. We'll call it the KKB.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom
in front of one very disinterested diamond python
and occasionally a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan!
Oh, that's not Alan. Steve.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
Yes, indeed. And for one final time, we do want to thank The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, for sponsoring the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast in 2017. If you would like to jump on board, you can hit us up on Facebook or on email and become a part of it if you own a business. We'll help get your name out to the masses. That's what it's all about, boys.
We're all about masses, man. Where are we on iTunes, man? We figured out how to see how many downloads we have. And by way,
we're going to crack the top 100 in the entire world.
Well, we did last year. I mean, we got there last year and we were consistently top 10 on Podomatic last year.
Joe Rogan gets 96 million downloads a month, man. We're hot on his heels.
Yeah.
He makes about 70 grand an episode.
It's nice to
He does about five episodes a week.
It's nice to be that confident.
He does five
it?
Episodes a week.
Oh, mate, he's a very busy dude. He's a new podcast on my phone every day.
Yeah. He does. He's a machine.
Oh, I also went back to a smartphone.
He's got a full studio set up at home and all
no,
that.
No, not at home. He's got he likes to do it away from home.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. But it's a man cave. It's awesome.
Yeah, nice. It's a good setup. So that's it for us. Season 2, episode 1 has come to a close. Benny, next week a bit more about your preparations, and Diamond Dave to Saint Steve is going to join us.
He is indeed, yep.
Diamond Dave, obviously on that, we'll touch on Horn and Pacquiao, former school teacher.
That's going to be a lot of
time
fun.
Great. Mate, I like Horn, but man, I think Pacquiao is just a bored congressman, man. Manny Pacquiao has knocked anyone out since Ricky Hatton in 2009.
Yeah.
Too much Jesus, man.
It'd be nice
and
to
he's been
see.
Knocked he's out made, too. Remember,
yeah,
Alvarez
he doesn't, he's too
good.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Silence.
And on
money.
And on that deafening, deafening silence.
Note, I'm going to say, see you next week, Benny.
See you, folks.
See you later.
This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsor,
The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time. So long.